Text on screen, running your business, growing in practice.
Managing your growth means focusing on several aspects. Taxes, for example. What changes in taxes when you become a BV? We will also discuss the possibilities of hiring staff. What type of employment suits your business best? And what will change? And we will take a look at financing. What types of financing are there in the Dutch financing landscape? We will discuss these topics with Johan Lafra of the Chamber of Commerce and our entrepreneurs, Jeta and Karim. Johan, with these different legal structures, there are different tax regulations.
Yeah,
how does that work differently?
Based on, I think for all legal entities, the one that you all have to work with is the VAT, in Dutch called the BTW, the value-added tax. That's something that works for every legal entity. The main difference is when it comes to income tax versus the corporate tax. That's the biggest difference between the personal entities and the legal structures.
Does anything changes in these taxes when you become a BV compared to the other legal structures?
Yeah, the one that isn't going to change is the VAT. That works the same for all of them. The biggest difference is that once you have a one-man business or a general partnership or the professional partnership, you pay income tax over all profit. And the difference with the legal entity, the BV, is that you'll be paying a salary, which should be what's normal in the market, but it needs to be at least 46,000 euros. That's money that you'll pay your income tax over, but on top of that, if there's more profit, you'll start paying your corporate tax. And that's the biggest difference between the personal entities and the legal structures.
So does that mean that if I would choose for BV, I would have to fill in two forms, both one for the income tax and one for the corporate tax?
Yeah, it's going to be two different tax systems. Yeah, so it's in addition to just the income tax as a sole proprietor.
Well, that's good to know, at least.
Yeah, yeah.
And are there also tax reductions that entrepreneurs can use?
Yeah, it's those go for the one-man business and the partnerships. If you meet a certain criteria, you're entitled to all kinds of tax discounts. And those discounts won't apply if you have a legal structure. And that's normally the reason why your profit needs to increase on an annual basis before switching to a legal entity becomes interesting from a tax point of view.
Okay, so you would say that in becoming a BV, in a tax point of view, it would be a disadvantage, but especially if you're making more and more profit, those will weigh up against each other.
Yeah, that's true.
Are there any other deductions maybe for the other legal structures apart from the BV that these entrepreneurs could benefit from before?
I'd say that those are not part of the actual legal structure, but it depends on your activity. Once you start doing something, there might be subsidies or research and development things that you can use for your business. But those don't solely apply to just the legal form. It has to do what it is that you're doing.
That sounds logical.
Okay, that's good. Well,
in that case, let's start talking about hiring staff. Jeta, do you currently employ staff?
Yeah, we have a team of 8 right now. Well, that's the executives and the office team. And everyone is working on their own terms because we're still fundraising at this point. We have people who we hired for 0 hours, and then they get paid per number of hours they actually put in. But then there are people who are full time, and they are very important to us for growth. And then there are people who we deal with externally and just do contract basis.
So you actually have quite a few different ways of employment.
Yeah.
Karim, do you also have these different ways of employment?
Essentially, we work mainly with freelancers, so writers, editors, marketeers, essentially. And no one is employed by us. We just have freelance contracts with them.
I'm sure that has its advantages and different structures. So maybe, Johan, you could enlighten us in a theory. What kind of different types of employment are there in the Netherlands?
There are so many ways to employ people. There's a scenario for each and every one. But I think that the biggest difference is you can hire someone as an employee directly. So put them on your payroll and then start working from there. I hear you saying something about zero-hour contracts, which is fine too. You still be their employer, but the amount of hours worked is variable. That's an option. You can hire people through temping agencies, through payrolling organizations, and you can even hire independents like freelancers or ZZP people. That's all possible. So you'll be looking at whatever works for you, and there's probably an option for that.
Of course, yes. That's what entrepreneurs should always keep in mind. What works best for me?
Yeah.
And maybe that's a great intro for the next statement I have for entrepreneurs. And the statement is, it is better to have fixed-term contracts than flexible ones. And I feel you might both have a different answer to that. But Karim, let's start with you.
I'm a big fan of flexibility, so you know my answer.
I figured that would be the case. Will that differ maybe when you become a BV in the future?
Yes and no. We just need to see how the growth plan goes and what the resources and skills we'll need. It's all about what's available readily on the market. So I can imagine that we will. Need that based as the company grows, we will need new skill sets in the business. So
that sounds logical. And Jetta, I believe from your story, you had several types.
Well, it really depends on who we're talking with and what's the type of work that they are putting in. And like, for example, when there are things related to intellectual property, because we have a lot of innovation to what we're doing. So there are probably rigid terms that we would impose. But on the other hand, having flexibility in our collaboration with anyone who work with us, I think it's pretty important, because you can't just be a woodpecker about this.
That's true.
No, and especially when you're talking about IP, it's really important, of course.
Yeah.
So there's not one which you particularly would prefer.
No, I mean, it's situational. You have to adapt to the situation, to the task at hand.
So when you started Baby Moon in the beginning, did you start with the flexible ones or the fixed-term ones?
Well, when I started with exploring where I landed, let's put it this way, and it took a while. And at that stage, there was a lot of research development done by me mostly. But then when I had to get people to do something for the company, then it would be a short-term, like, task-based agreement, and it was limited. Now at the point when we have people on an ongoing basis being as part of the team and doing the Monday meetings and all of that with a stable team, it's a bit different. But still, we keep the flexibility, and we still have people from outside the company also providing input. So it's a matter of, right now, it's a matter of like managing what's on the inside and then all those satellite supporters that we have. So
it sounds like a colorful bunch together. Do you have any advice for the entrepreneurs at home, how they could choose what would be best suit their company?
I would think just to know exactly the requirements they have for the people they hire, and based on those requirements, adapt the way they hire them.
I think that's a good advice.
It's best to know what you want up front. So
then maybe a quick theoretical question for Johan again. Can a sole proprietor also hire staff?
Yeah, that's possible.
Yes?
Yeah, that's possible.
Is that possible in any legal structure?
The sole proprietor only says something about the number of owners of the actual business. So there's going to be one owner. As a partnership, you'll have multiple owners. As a legal entity, both can apply. But it only has to do with ownership. And both can have employees, and in all scenarios that we just mentioned.
And I can imagine, of course, when you actually employ these people on fixed terms, these are probably having financial consequences. Could you tell us a bit more about that?
Once you hire someone, then they become your employee. At that point, you need to set up an administration. There's payroll taxes that need to be done, that need to be set in motion. For some, it's fine to do yourself. I hear a lot of people saying that now I start working with personnel, the first thing I'm going to do is hire myself a bookkeeper or an accountant to make sure that payroll taxes are taken care of the way it should be. But in the end, you'll have to do with employer stuff. And
You touch upon a really important point there, because of course there are many regulations and rules around that. So yeah. What would you say are the most important employment contract terms and condition in the Netherlands here that you should be aware of?
Well, it depends on the contract that you're going to set up. Will you be setting up someone for, let's say, 40 hours a week for the rest of their life? That's a different scenario than when you start working with people on a zero-hour contract. So that's the first thing that you need to look at. What kind of agreement am I going to set up? And once you do, there's all kinds of stuff. You'll be paying your employer wages for your personnel, the salary that's required. Most of the time, people actually want to earn some money. And you'll be paying some benefits on top of that as an employer. So that's important. But there's all kinds of, as I just said, there's the minimum wage that you need to take care of. You need to set something in place for holidays and stuff like that. There's pension, there's insurances that need to be covered. All those elements combined make the official contract.
That's quite a bunch of rules and regulations to be aware of.
There is,
So, Kariba and Jeta, are any of these Dutch rules that we have here, did they come as a surprise? Were they different to what you were used to?
No.
I worked here already for quite a few years, so there was a lot of stuff that I knew about the system. So it was a little bit easier for me, in that sense.
And for you, Jeta?
No, I think these are all points that are valid and relevant wherever you do business. So you have to keep all of that in mind. On the other hand, if I compare just the paperwork processes here, it is much less complicated than in Eastern Europe where I come from. But then the fact that it's simplified has to make you a bit more aware of what you're putting into that contract. Because when you're just winging it, that's not a good idea ever. So at times it's actually good to have a possibility to have an advisor, to ask someone for their professional input. If you feel that you're not qualified well enough to build the contract yourself.
True.
Because sometimes you can just not be aware of some aspects, and then that can bite you later on.
Yes, that's good. It's good that you mention it, because just to sort of close this off, are there any other more aspects that our entrepreneurs should know when working with staff? Yeah,
I'd say that always start at the beginning, as already mentioned by our two guests today, is that what it is that you're looking for. And if you have a very clear picture of what the future is going to look like, it's going to be much easier to hire someone directly for a longer period. So look at the coming months, maybe the first 1-2 years. See where you're planning on going, and based on that, you can make the right choice regarding your staff. So have a clear picture. It applies to every segment today.
Yes.
have a clear picture of where you want to go.
Think about it and have a clear picture.
That's true.
And then you can start with your staff.
That's true.
And I can imagine you have staff and your employees. They have to work somewhere. Do you have an office space at the moment, Jeta?
Yeah, we do have an office space. I'm very excited about that because we moved to the office just a few months back. So it's really exciting that the people can come. There is this point that a big part of our team works remotely because they're not located in the Netherlands. We have people in Switzerland, we have people in Tanzania, we have people in Moldova, so it's pretty international.
And how did you find them, actually, if they're from all over the world?
It took a while.
Do you use LinkedIn, or how do you find them?
Well, it's Some people, yes, someone actually I found on LinkedIn. Others, it was just a matter of engaging the networks that I have. So, well, me and then the other people involved. And it doesn't have to be LinkedIn necessarily. It's just a network is a network. It's just human connection.
Yeah, so that's the biggest part, probably. You good network, and through that, find the right employees.
Yeah.
Is that the same way you do it, Karim, with your freelancers?
Actually, it's a little bit yes. In some way, yes. The thing is, we already have a huge following. I mean, we have close to 110,000, 115,000 followers as expats living and working in the Netherlands. So for us to recruit talent is, we just use our own network. Already people come to us and solicit us, hey, can I write for you? Can I work with you? So,
oh, wow.
I've had that luxury, actually, so that's great. And I have some incredible people on my team that I'm really proud of, and it's been really a nice journey. So
actually, it once again then comes down to network, but in this case, the fact that everyone knows you instead of you know everyone.
Lux problem, as they say in Dutch.
Because for Jada, for you again then with hiring staff, what are actually the most important aspects you look at when hiring a new person?
Well, at this point of the development of the company, we're definitely looking at people who can deal with uncertainty. uncertainty is not necessarily a 2020 thing, especially when you're dealing with startups and innovation. We're looking at people who can self-organize and can be goal-driven, and that's probably a common denominator that we're looking at, but then also having good background in the specific work that they are doing. That's important.
No, that's really important. Look what they've done and see if they can build on from there in your company.
Yeah.
I believe we've got quite a lot of tips for entrepreneurs regarding hiring. So let's go to financing. Johan, could you elaborate a bit more on the types of financing there are in the Netherlands?
You can ask friends and family. I think that's the easiest one. There's microcredits that you can apply for. There's bank loans. There's investors that you can get into your business. I'd say that for every scenario, there's a possibility to gain money somewhere.
Quite a few number of ways to get to financing. Maybe it's interesting in that case to have a statement for entrepreneurs again. And the statement this time is, I recommend looking for funding.
It depends.
Of course, it depends.
It depends, because once you take in financing from somewhere else, there are restrictions and terms to that financing financing. Do you actually need the funds? Because raising money for the sake of raising money without a purpose, and you see a lot of entrepreneurs, they get their pitch deck really good to, oh, I raised so much. But in reality, in my view, the best investor is a paying customer.
That's very true. Geeta, how do you look at this?
Well, I agree with Karim completely. So there are, like, most of the times it's best to have the paying customer. But then on the other hand, when you have to deal with, like in my case, because we have all the research and development, because we're dealing with electronic textile and things that are like
a physical product.
Well, aside from being a physical product, it's also innovation, and it's not something that's common and widespread. You have to fund the innovation in various ways. You have to figure it out how to build it, because it's a long process, because you have to build it, you have to certify it, blah, blah, blah. So the good opportunity here is actually the possibility to fund R&D, because there are a bunch of subsidies for that. There are a bunch of grant opportunities. There are even loans that are non-dilutive, so then you can still keep the ownership of your company. But then again, you can also have access to venture capital, which is
still
a useful tool. But again, it depends very much on what you're doing.
Because if I remember correctly, you are currently in the process of funding, right?
Yes.
How did you get to the choice of which funding you were going for?
Well, In my case, aside from the fact that we have a lot of R&D in our company, I still have a physical product that is already there and ready for market release, because the innovative version, well, they are all innovative, but the electronic connected versions, they still have to go through like a lot of work. But we have a product ready for release to market, which means that I can have my company income and I can have paying clients on top of the R&D part. So that's a specific of my company, because I have colleagues in the startup world who only have the R&D for the first 3 years and they can't generate income.
So you really looked for R&D funding in the beginning?
We are looking for R&D funding at this point as well. But so, yeah.
And how did you know how to find this R&D funding? Did you have a network again of venture capitalists?
That was a process. that was a challenge. Like, to be honest, I had 3 years that were really, really financially, like, we had to go through a very tight belt, let's put it this way, period.
The bootstrapping phase.
Oh, yeah. But then again, it wasn't easy, but on the other hand, I think it's important not to take in funding before you know where you're going, before you can handle it as a company. So, yeah, we had to explore, so we took our moment there.
No, that's really good advice.
But then, we also took that time period to explore the possibilities for funding. Because here, the Netherlands does give you a lot of opportunities that are on a spectrum. Like, you can literally go from subsidies, from grants and loans and da-da-da-da. So aside from just the money coming in, you have to also take into account, like, do you want to keep shares in your company? Do you want to deal with other people telling you how to run your business? Do you want to, put an effort and pay out loans? So you have to have a funding strategy.
Yes.
Not just like, oh, there's cash, let's go for it.
So I can imagine that this strategy, of course, had to be written up in a written plan for when you were looking for this funding.
Yeah, well, you have to put things on paper, because when you go to any funding organization, they will not give you the money just for the pretty eyes.
That's true. That's very true.
Yeah, you have to turn it into a document. But before you put it on paper, you have to know what you're putting on paper. And then you have to do the research before that. So it's a backtracking thing.
Karim, do you recognize this situation? I mean, do you have entrepreneurs in your network that are looking for funding like this?
Yeah, sure. We see it all the time. And what's actually interesting in the Netherlands is there's actually like advisors that can actually go and help you raise money. Yeah. Of course, they take
it for
a price, of course. But that's a profession that's readily available to help people raise money. So we're quite lucky setting up businesses in the Netherlands, actually.
Would you advise entrepreneurs looking right now to also look at one of these coaches?
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely.
100%.
Johan, can you also relate to the answers Geeta and Karim just gave?
I was wondering, did any of you contact me in the because we, as an organization as well, can help in the early process of getting the possibilities out, and maybe even refer you in a certain direction. But yeah, I totally agree with what was just told, and again, keep an eye out for what it is that you need. I think that's a very valuable point. It's not just about raising as much capital as you want and can, but there's a need, and that needs to be clear. And once you know that, you can decide which way you're going to go, and that makes it a lot easier to write down all the necessary paperwork. Mm. So I totally agree. Yeah,
that's good to hear. Then the advice can be followed. We have been looking at taxes for entrepreneurs and what changes when you become a BV. And we looked at the forms of employment in the Netherlands and the things that you should take into account when you start hiring staff. If you want to know more about financing your business, we recommend you watch our webinar on this specific topic. There, you learn all about the Dutch financial climate and preparing to apply for Dutch funding, and more about financing options in the Netherlands we discussed briefly today. You find this at our website, business.gov.nl.
scrolling on screen text, business.gov.nl. Text on screen, government information for entrepreneurs. Text on screen. Thank you for watching.